Amen. You may be seated. We're all happy to be here this afternoon in the presence of the Lord, because where the saints are gathered, there is the Lord in the midst. We're always grateful for the scripture that encourages us. And, of course, we need great encouragement these days, because this is a very treacherous age. You know, many people look back on the four beasts, you know, the creature, living creatures that guarded the word. You had the lion, the word going forth as a lion, then you had the ox showing the sacrificial age, and there was the face of the man, the wisdom of man, at the end time, the eagle. But with the eagle age, it comes the age of peril. It wasn't the age of peril in the first couple ages, which seemed so disastrous when Christianity lay in the balances because of so much persecution. We often think that's perilous, but that wasn't the age of peril. Today is the age of peril because of the subtlety of the enemy and the subtlety of what is going on in the church. You know, nobody but us would believe what's going on in the church. Of course, there are a few who would believe this outside of us, and they really believe nothing. They're not saved at all. But they say, I'll go on with that, and they will too, because they can see other things upon them. You know, just plain as the nose in your face. Of course, as plain as it is on my face, it's very plain. I assure you. Well, that's just how plain it is. That's what's going on to the elect and to those that don't know anything. But the fellows that think they know something, it's not plain at all. They're absolutely confused. And they're walking into a death trap. And that's what we're going to talk about this afternoon, the message on the identified God. Now, before we study, let's bow our heads once more in prayer. Gracious Eternal Father, we come now at this moment to study your word, Lord, on your own identification among us, what you have done at the end time, what you've done through the ages. Now, be with us, Lord, that the people may know the hour in which they live, not only be assured of it, but have great assurance in their heart that they're part of that hour of the word of Almighty God in this day. And so, Lord, we look to you. We pray that every word shall be circumspect by the Holy Spirit to say exactly right. And also the ears being on the Lord, that we might be one as one person today, and we'll be careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. They identified God, and we're going to read, first of all, in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. I could have read many portions of Scripture, but this is the one that seemed to suit me the best. Beginning at verse 17, 1 Kings chapter 18, it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubled Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and hast thou followed Balaamism, or Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel Sabah. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, and if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, and Baal's prophets 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullets, and let them choose one bullet for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullet, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. Then call ye on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answered by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. Over in the book of Acts, the 17th chapter, 22 to 23, Paul on Mars Hill. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. For as I passed by and did beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Now, in 1 Kings, we have the marvelous story of the true God identifying himself among the people. And now we're all familiar, of course, with the story that we just read a part of, and that is that Israel had gone into idolatry and had come to a peak of their idolatry under Ahab, who had married a heathen woman who was the daughter of Ethbaal, the priest king of Baal. And then he with her perverted Israel to wrong worship through the heathen priesthood and the heathen theology. Now, then there came a clash between Israel and under the leadership of Ahab and Elijah and the prophets of Baal. And this prophet Elijah, who was claimed by Ahab to be troubling Israel because he was a servant of God and obeying what God wanted him to do, asked for a showdown in order that the people might know exactly if they were worshiping the right God or not. Now, since the trouble hinged over who was serving the true God, a showdown on Mount Carmel then came about, as indicated in the other scripture, which I think we'll maybe take time to read a little later on. And you'll notice that there is a great test of worship set forth here in this premise as to who is going to be the one that is God. Now, you'll notice that I said it was a test of worship. And this is what we want to understand, because both sides were worshiping. Now, reading the 25th verse from the same chapter 18 in 1 Kings. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. They took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed and called the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any answer, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, they prophesied unto the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. The prophecy is a quite a gimmick and excitement. That there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was broken down. Now, you notice in the first instance, here they're worshiping. And the showdown is in worship. See, there's a worship, and we see what God is that answers according to how the fire will come or not come. Now, Elijah begins the worship. And he took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullocks in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels of water and pour it on the sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. Did it a second time. He said, do it a third time. Did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench off with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering, the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God, Abraham, of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art God, and thou hast turned their heart back again. And the fire of God fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice in the wood, and the stones in the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. So when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. Now, this showdown, where God answered by fire and identified himself, is identical to what we find in the beginning of the word, way back in Genesis, the 4th chapter. You'll notice that 2 people are worshiping, and they're both calling upon God. They're both interested in and believing they've got a relationship with God, and they're looking to God. In that second verse, Abel was the keeper of the sheep, and Cain was the tiller of the soil. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel also brought of the first in his flock, of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Now you notice particularly in the 4th verse, it's the last part, it says, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, where he was worshiping God. In the 5th verse, it says the first part, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Now, you can see here that God did not identify himself with both of these worshipers, even though he was being worshipped. He refused to identify himself with Cain, but he did identify himself with Abel. And there's no doubt in my mind that the identification with Abel was identical to the identification with Elijah, which was the fire of God falling and licking up the sacrifice. I was just thinking about that, how tremendous was that fire that descended upon the sacrifice. The best that man could do would have an atomic fire come down, and this would destroy the people as well as that which was near them. But here with God, he merely licked up the sacrifice, but the people themselves were not in any way touched, but they were delivered. So here we see, as I believe the scripture would have to be in continuity throughout, this would be the fire would be licking up the offering that Abel brought to the Lord. Now, you'll notice that God identified himself also in the same way in Genesis, the 15th chapter, beginning at verse 7. And he said unto him, I am the Lord, that's Abraham, that brought thee out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. If they're 3 years old, they'd be in about their going on their fourth, like the ministry of Christ there. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid three, laid each piece one against another, and the birds divided he not. When the fowl came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo and horror, great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, surely, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in good old age. In the fourth generation they shall come thither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down, it was dark, and behold, a smoking furnace, and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. Notice again, the fire of God licking up the sacrifice, God identifying himself to Abraham, and in the process of worship. Now, also, we go to Exodus, the 3rd chapter, and we read verses 1 to 6. Now, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back side of the desert, and came to the mountain of God. That's where God was to be worshipped, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the flame of fire, out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I'll now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, but put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where I'm now standeth is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now, let us understand that the real reason for God identifying himself in all of these places or coming into the open, what was the reason? It was in order that the people might know whom they worship. In order, and this is the meat of it, that God might receive worship and not some other God, or something reckoned to be God. See, this is the purpose. That's what we found back here in the book of Acts, that 17th chapter, where they were all worshiping. Paul said here, I perceived as I passed by, I beheld your devotion, and I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Now, they were attempting to worship God, and yet they weren't able to worship God because God had not declared himself unto them. Now, keeping this in mind, This takes us right back to Exodus, the 20th chapter. Beginning in verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, of those that won't worship God, and showing mercy unto thousands that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not bear. The word take there doesn't mean to curse. It means to bear, to take up, or to carry. Thou shalt not take up and carry or bear the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Now notice there's a vanity also attached to a knowledge of God that could destroy relationship to God, even though there was a revelation of him. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who beareth his name in vain. See? It's impossible then to be clear in the sight of God when a revelation comes if it's turned down. And people knowing the revelation do not stay with it. Now, notice in here, he mentions the fact that there are gods. In other words, there are forces and powers and what you might call great things happening in the universe, and which, of course, could bring us into witchcraft. And then there is also much that is a phenomenon, and people look at it and they say, now, we're going to call that God and we're going to worship. Now, God stands in the midst of all of this. And he says, now, you cannot have any other God before me or any God beside me. And there is nothing that you can possibly pay any attention to in the essence of worship, and I will call you quit. In other words, I cannot call you blameless as long as there is any worship whatsoever that is given in my name or toward me. See? He refuses it. Absolutely. See? God revealing himself and identifying himself in order to be worshipped. And now then, what will happen if people turn down the identification of God to the people and still go on worshiping? See, this is what we want to see, and this is what we see in the whole scripture. Right from the first chapter of Genesis, right through to the very end. Now, let's go back also to Genesis, the 12th chapter, verses 1 to 8. And the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house and land that thou showed thee. And I'll make of thee a great nation, and I'll bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed, and as the Lord God spoke unto him. And it mentioned here how they all went out. Now, notice in the 7th verse, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. See? Worship. Now, he couldn't worship back in the Ur of the Chaldees where they were worshiping the moon god. You couldn't build an altar back there. There could not be a worship of God that God would accept unless it was based upon the revelation of the Lord. And you notice God appeared unto Abraham and said, now come on out. And so he came out and built the altar, and there he worshiped God according to the reality of the word that God set before him. Now also, notice the same thing in Exodus. We're going to read a lot of scripture today. The 3rd chapter, 10 to 12. God said to Moses, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring my people, forth my people, the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should run to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I'll be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. Right there again, you understand worship is involved. And God said, I'm going to reveal myself to the people in order to receive worship. Now, this brings us into perfect manifestation in the book of John, the 4th chapter. 23-24. But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, also in the book of Mark, the 7th chapter. In verse 7. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now, God can only be God, as the prophet said, if he is the object of worship. See, you can't be God otherwise. He's a creator, or that's about all you could say about him. But if God is going to be God, then he must be the object of adoration. He must be object of some kind of worship. Now, thus he must identify himself as the true God, or he will not be worshipped. Now, see, this is what we bring all along at this time from Scripture. That God must identify himself as the true God, or he will not be worshipped. And yet, he must be worshipped because God is demanding the worship. See? Now, God absolutely recognizes that others or something else can attract a worship. Now, God recognizes that. He brought that out in the book of Exodus. That's why he said in there, you'll have no other gods before me. See? In other words, he recognizes the possibility of something that will come and actually have enough influence and power and authority with the people to literally take them away from God. Now, you can't change that if you try to be here. See? I know people say, well, let's get this thing down ironclad. Now, God's God, there's definitely going to be a way of worship that he being such a wonderful personage that I know that it'll never happen that something can land in and take us away. He's 100% wrong. You're 100% wrong. Because it says right here that he sets himself in the midst of the other authorities and demonstrations and phenomena. There's a word I'm trying to get in my mind and I can't get it. Maybe I'll get it later on. There's a very special word you can use to just put the whole thing just in sharp focus. But God recognizes these other forces or entities, programs, qualities, conditions, charismatic features, however you want to call it. And yet he says, I am the only one that you are to worship. See? And I will tolerate nothing else. So there has to be an identification of exactly who and what God is. There's got to be an identification. Otherwise, your worship is going to be absolutely in vain. Now let's go to Exodus, the 34th chapter. Which will hinge along this very line there. 12-17. Take heed of thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, whither thou goest. See? Lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. For ye shall destroy their altars. See? You'll break up the very foundation of their worship. Lest you be snared with it. That sure doesn't sound like going back to organization playing around, does it? See? Cut down their groves. Living symbology now. For thou shalt worship no other gods, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. Lest thou make it cover the inhabitants of the land and go whoring after their God. Notice, spiritual adultery. and do sacrifice unto their God. An act of worship to their God. A literal act of worship. Just like they're doing. Taking a pot with them. See? And one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice. That's like taking Lord's Supper, see? In their own way. And thou take of thy daughters and thy sons, and their daughters go a-hurrying after their gods, and make thy sons go a-hurrying after their gods. Thou shalt make thee no molten god. Now, you can see in here exactly what we're saying, that there can be an actual worship going on based upon something which is concrete, that's not based in the realm of just somebody thought of something, but something that works. And they say, look, it works. And it's God, therefore. So therefore, they'll worship this and be a million miles away from the true God. Now, let's go also, that this thing is recognized as to what it is in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. There Paul lays it right down. The very same thing that Moses laid out in the Word, Paul lays out in the Word. Now that it could be a literal sacrificing to devils. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. See, he said, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. The very same thing Moses said. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. In other words, you can't partake of what God has laid down in His Word for the true believer and then turn around and covet that and go your way to worship God, thinking you're worshiping God, yet you're basing it on the Bible. You say, well, therefore, that's the true God because I'm basing it on the Word. It won't work. See, because you could do that very, very easily. Now, with this, go back to Genesis 11 chapter. We could go into the other books and find the very same thing, but as long as you're finding in Genesis, you don't need to worry. It's just that's where your theme comes from. Look at the fourth verse. And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now, what were they going to do here? They were going to do exactly what God said they must not do, which was to worship anything pertaining to the heavens. And they were going to build a great big tower in Assyria, in their base in a huge city. And at the base of this tower would be a circle with the 12 signs of the zodiac. And this, of course, is the Bible in the stars, the 12 signs with the other substantiating signs with it. You can see the whole God written in heaven, starting from Virgo, the virgin, unto Leo, the lion. Christ born of a virgin and coming back as a lion. And they laid this out for many, many acres. And this is what they were worshiping. They were worshiping God according to their understanding. Now, let's understand this. They were worshiping God. But God was not pleased because the worship of God was not according to the truth. See? Now, we understand that. We understand our reading in 1 Kings there, we read concerning Elijah. You'll notice that when Elijah built the altar, he built it in Israel. And remember, Israel was what? Prince with God. What were they doing, though? Worshiping idols. See? Now, what about today? What about all through Scripture? It's been the tone of the Bible always that the people have claimed an identity or an identification with God, God having revealed Himself to them, and then they go off and they still attempt to retain the identification, but they can't do it because their worship is off. Now, and later on, they go plumb away from God. with no hope at all. They leave God absolutely entirely, and even though they might claim to know God. Look today, astrologer. Now there's no astrologer who talks about the devil. He talks about God. Yet astrology is based upon the signs of the zodiac, and they attempt to do everything through astrology, to which there is a bit of merit. But then, when it becomes meritorious, and the people are fools, it takes them absolutely right away from God, so they're talking about God. Now then, let's go from astrology to the next step, which is spiritism. Then when you go to spiritism, you have actual signs and definite miracles and great manifestations, positively, but it's by devil. And yet the same people will talk about God. From there you can go to Christian Science, you go to Unity, you can go to a dozen religions, they're absolutely serious, but every single one of them claims an identity with Almighty God, and they're worshiping God. And each one of them has something going for it. You see, this is where people are wrong in their thinking. They say, well now, if I'm going to worship God in any way but my way, then that person's got nothing going for him. And that's where they're wrong entirely. You can have people that are worshiping God and be a million miles off, and they've got a lot of things going for them. They've got many, many things which are good, and you might say acceptable in a sense of the word. And you can well be fooled by them. Now then, watch this. By the time that Jesus came on earth, Israel was 100% cured of idolatry. They were. See? They knew God, got into sin, got into idolatry, were led away captive, were brought back, and when they were brought back, they were absolutely cured of idolatry. That's what happened to the 70 years captivity in Babylon. Alright, let's prove it by scripture. That is idolatry in the sense of raw heathenism. Let's go to the book of Mark, the 12th chapter. One of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered the scribe, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Not two, not three, but one. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like unto this, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbors himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw he answered discreetly, he said, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Now you notice in here that the teaching of Israel was one God who was spirit, who was supposed to be worshipped according to the word. Yet, you'll notice, we read in Mark 7:7 that their worship was vain. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Now notice right in here that their worship of God was vain. Now it's not that they were claiming to know other God. They were cured of raw heathenism. But now their worship is still vain, and they are still not accepted of God. Why? Because they teach for the word of God the doctrines of men. Now, where does that come from? That comes right back from Genesis, the 4th chapter again. 4:7. Notice. Abel brought the first thing in the flock. And the Lord had respect unto Abel's offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Listen. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? Now the 7th verse should be translated this way. Thou hast offered right, said he to Cain. Yet, if thou hast not rightly divided, what? The word. Hast thou not sinned? See? Now you'll notice in here that both of them were worshiping the one and only true God. But one of them did not divide the word correctly, so therefore his worship was vain, and God finally had to curse him. See? Now, we must understand this. The worship was not accepted. See? Now, God revealing himself, identifying himself in order to be worshipped. That's the first step. And then the next thing is, God revealing himself, by the word, in order for the worship to be accepted and one with him. Now, God identifies himself to Israel. That's the time of Jesus. He shows that he is the one true God, but they do not recognize him. Now, let's see him show them that he's the one true God. We go to John, the 15th chapter. 22 to 24. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the work which none other man did, they had not sinned. Now there was no pillar of fire to come down. But there was an identification. He identified himself. If I had not done the work another man did, they had not sinned. But now listen, they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. See? God revealing himself, identifying himself as to who he was. See? In order to receive worship. Let's go to Matthew, chapter 22.
I think I want to Matthew 22. I'm not quite sure now. Pardon me. I think I got the wrong. Let me see if I can just check. Might be going over here. I'm looking for. Sometimes I put down the wrong passage. No. Well, we'll take John 14. I'll get that one a little later. Check it out.
John 14. Notice what he said here to Philip. Verse 7. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. Now, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll suffice us. Now watch what Jesus said. Have I been so long time with you and has not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How then sayest thou, show us the Father? What more are you looking for? Now nothing else could be seen, because that was the identification. Now Israel could have said, well, show us some more, again, bring down some more fire. They do something else. But God showed himself before the people, absolutely identifying himself. Now notice verse 10. Believest thou that I am the Father, and the Father in me? The word that I speak, and I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Okay? Now notice what he said. Believe me for the work's sake. Now with that, go back to John 10, to come back a bit. Verse 30, I and my Father are one. Now John 8 and 24. I said therefore unto you, that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am, not he, that word's not in the Greek. If you don't believe that I am, you shall die in your sins. See? The actual, absolute identification or deity identifying himself amongst the people. See? With no doubt at all and no room. And you notice what he said, believe me for the work's sake. In other words, doing what no other man could do, which he did, then he said, believe me for that work's sake. Why? Because this is only what God could do, not what a man could do.
Right.
See? Looking at what God could do. Now, once he's done it, then he said, now you can go from there to where you believe the word. Now, what does Israel do, though, in the face of God identifying himself, or deity identified amongst the people? They refuse to accept him as the prophet, and as the sacrifice, they even refute his resurrection, so God turns from them, according to the book of Acts, the 13th chapter. Notice verse 44 to 46. And the next Sabbath day came the whole city together to hear the word of God. And when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. What were they doing? They were speaking against the very things that Paul and Barnabas were speaking. And they blasphemed God. Notice how they blasphemed. By contradicting and speaking against the word. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. See? God turning from Israel to the Gentiles. Israel blinded. Now, what happened? The church is set in order through the Apostle Paul, and the Gentile bride is espoused to Christ. While Israel literally goes what looks like divorcement, but it's really into blindness. 2 Corinthians 11 chapter. Verse 2. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now here we have the church in a pure form where God has revealed himself, thoroughly identified amongst the people, and they know the word of God, so that they are indeed worshiping him in spirit and in truth. Now isn't that exactly what it says in Philippians over here, the third chapter? Let's find out. In here somewhere. A lot of times I can't put my finger on the exact verse in there, but it is in Philippians. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, verse 3, and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Paul admitting that the bride was a virgin, absolutely chaste, espoused to Jesus Christ. Now this shows that she was in favor with God if she was espoused. So therefore, his knowledge of her and her knowledge of him and her worship to him was absolutely correct. See? She was accepted. Now, notice though, Paul has great fear. Verses 3 and 4. But I fear lest in him, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind. See the mind. Eve's mind was subtly inundated until she was seduced. Now, subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now listen, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, that's another God now, whom you not preach, or you receive another spirit, that's another God that you have not received, or another gospel, that's another word, and understanding of worship that you have not accepted, you might well bear it. You might well bear it. Now listen, what's he showing? He's showing right here the possibility of the accepted, truly virgin, identified bride slipping away. And in the ages to come, 4, 5, and 6, and behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. See? And he shall turn the heart of the children back to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with curse. God identified himself amongst the people, doing the same work he did when he was on earth. Absolutely. Now let's go back to King, 1 Kings 18 chapter, just for a second there, just the one verse. Hear me, O Lord God, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord, and hast turned their heart back again. And the fire fell. In other words, the mighty miracle ministry that was to return to this earth, the same ministry of Jesus Christ when he was on earth, came back through a prophet. And the mighty signs and wonders, which no other man could do, because he alone had thus set the Lord. And nobody else had the magnitude of the ability that he had. Nobody had the ability to bring me your worst case and I'll guarantee healing. Nobody else could stand up to it, see? that same ministry returned to the earth. And when it did, it turned in the heart of the children to the Father's wife. Because it turned them back to God, because this man was the sole representative of the sole true God. I don't care if you had a million out there doing the same thing.
Amen.
A million Janice and Gabbers didn't marry me.
Right.
You were going to listen to this one. Because remember in the days that Jesus, they were casting out devils, because Jesus said, by whom do your sons cast out devils?
Right.
They were casting out devils, healing the sick and seeing things done. There never was a time when God didn't do something amongst his people.
Right.
See? Not only everybody tells you that time never was, they're liars. God always has. He's even worked amongst the ignorant and even the wicked. And there's no problem there, see? Now, it is to lead the people back to God to worship Him. Now, no worship except that based on the truly divided word can be accepted. All right? That was back in Genesis 4, wasn't it? Thou hast offered right. You've prayed right. You've sung right. You've done a lot of right things. Oh, you've been a wonderful person. But you know what? You're not accepted. Oh, well, I believe in the blood of Jesus. I've talked in tongues. I've had a great experience. Sure, but you're still not accepted. You won't divide the word right. Now, Cain offered a good sacrifice. Nobody tell you he didn't, because he did. The Bible said Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice, so therefore Cain offered an excellent sacrifice.
Right.
And God said here in his word, you offered right. That's right, because the first fruit offering is according to the Bible.
Amen.
Wrong place. Huh. That's like you said, I've got the Holy Ghost. When I believe? No, you can get when you believe. You get after you believe. Wrong division, you didn't get any Holy Ghost, how could you? Well, I didn't know you didn't. I've heard people talk about tongues there and get so balled up that I said, all right, are you trying to tell me then, brother, you say you know Brother Branham, are you trying to tell me that he got the, and that God then gave him the Holy Ghost without speaking in tongues when everybody else was supposed to speak in tongues? I said, why? Well, he said, he knew that he couldn't believe us, he just gave him with us. So I said, then he's bigger than God. That man's supposed to be a preacher. He's a preacher, all right, but he's a phony preacher. Not because I say so, but he don't work condemn me. How can he stand up against us, said the Lord? How can he stand up against us when God identified himself? God didn't identify himself with that man. God identified himself through Elijah, by Moses, by Abel, by Jesus Christ, by William Branham. Okay? Now, God cannot accept service apart from the revealed word of truth. Now let's put that down in the Bible and find out. Numbers, the 16th chapter. Not everything we preach we got in the Bible. We don't talk about it. We know we divide the Bible right because we do what the prophet said. Now watch that. And Moses was very wroth with Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, the ones that had the gift, you know, the Holy Ghost operating there and giving sacrifices. Now, he said to the Lord, Lord, respect not their offering. Now listen, I have not taken one ass of them, neither have I hurt them. That's the very thing that God said is going to happen the last day. They'll make merchandise of you. It's going to cost you something to be round up, is it? It takes money to hurt you if you're gospel. All that sort of nonsense. Oh, yeah, they all say golden calf. Never get away from the golden calf. They can't do it. They just can't do it. You watch anybody the golden calf team. Not a God. Now, Moses said, God don't accept their worship. They came with the censer. God, boom, burn them up. But he said, keep the censer because they're consecrated. That's your perfect picture of many a man with a perfect, genuine gift of the Holy Ghost, but he himself, unaccepted by God. Depart from me, do the work of grace. I never knew.
Right. Amen.
Even though you cast it out. You get the point?
Yeah.
Perfect is it? Perfect is perfect indeed. See, there you are. Now, this abundantly clarifies Matthew 24:24. See? Brother Brand's most famous verse. We'll never forget that, will we? There shall arise false Christ, even lying prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, genuine signs and wonders, correctly anointed to the power, but false to the word. Every single time.
And if he is the Word, how can you worship him without being one of that Word? Inasmuch as were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. See? Now, let's find out. 2 Thessalonians. 2 chapter. And verse 12. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. What is that unrighteous pleasure? Over here in 1 John the 3rd chapter. There it is. It says here, little children, O man, deceive you. Verse 7, he that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as Jesus is righteous. Verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. And in verse 12, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were unrighteous, and his brothers were righteous. It was how they worshiped God. They killed Paul because he was a heretic according to their idea of worship. And that's exactly, we're coming to the end times. It is not that we will believe in one God, or believe certain, or, you know what I mean, like, it's not that we won't believe God, but it is because we believe God and worship according to what an end time vindicated message lays down.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's what they're going to go after. And the Bible says right here that God is going to send a strong delusion because they took pleasure in their own understanding of worship when God brought a messenger that gave them the truth and told them, now, here's your true God, worship him. And they said, we won't take that. Well, why not? Well, we're having just as much fun. In fact, we're having more fun. In fact, you ladies, you're a bunch of slobs. You've got long, stupid hair you can't control. It even stinks and you don't wash it too well. It doesn't it? Sure, you got trouble. Your hair sprays and all this stuff. You use it. And you got to have your stupid long skirt. Now, what has that got to do with God? Good question. It's very stupid. It's got a lot to do with God, because the prophet said so. Why shouldn't men wear trunks? Keep them cool, because the prophet said don't do it.
Right.
Why shouldn't women wear flats? It'd be much more needed. The wind blows. It's better, as I said before, be embarrassed and abomination. See? Well, it's just too bad. Women are always getting pregnant around you guys because you don't believe in virginal. That's what you don't. The prophet said so. Those days of winking and inks are all over. Add one word, take the direction. Take away one word, lose your eye. He said strong delusion. What's a strong delusion? They'll go on worshiping God. They'll go on having signs, wonders, and miracles. They'll go on having a great time. They'll go on having a big revival. And they're all talking in tongues. They all got it. The Anglican Church has got it. The Roman Catholic Church has got it. The Presbyterians got it. They've all got it. Brother Branham once said, I thought it was facetious. He said the Methodists want the Baptists, the Baptists want the Presbyterians, and the Pentecostals want them all. And the Pentecostals couldn't get them all.
That's right.
Got it because the end time.
Hey, that's right.
Then delusion. See, there it is. It's in a showdown. God identifying himself amongst the people in order to lead them to worship. Then any worship apart from the revealed word of God will not stand before God. Won't do it. Now, thus we see why God will send strong delusion, those that turn down the truth. They will worship the beast thinking he's God.
Right.
Just trip right into it. Why? Because God won't accept it. Now then, God has identified himself, make no mistake about it. To worship apart from revelation is idolatry. Now, Brother Branham absolutely stated that. He said, yes, he said, a man came to me and said, what about this witch doctor out there? He healed some sick person. Don't tell me the devil can't heal. I thought them. And Brother Branham said, I'm ashamed of you to even say that. Why, he said, I thought you being a theologian all these years, you'd know better. He just turned the table down. And give him his own medicine. Why, he said, certainly the devil can't heal, the devil can't create. He said, what it is, those poor people think they're approaching God and they're doing it through the witch doctor. He said, just like they're doing it now through organization, denomination. Nothing but heathenism. Now, call what you will God. Three of them, two of them. Call what you will God. There is only one true God. That is the one identified by Elijah, both past and present. That is why the major revelation of this age is the Lord, he is God. He's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Alpha and Omega, the only one, and there's none beside him. And that water baptism in his name is the major revelation of the age.
Amen.
One God, and his name is Lord Jesus Christ, and you're baptized in his name, and the word of God reveals him perfectly in order that you may worship and be accepted by God. Now we might ask, since God has identified himself to us, how will he identify himself with us? Well, the only way he's ever done that. He's identified himself amongst us already by the fact that we saw the signs and the wonders, we heard the word, you know the truth. What's the next step? Identification of God with us is by the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Repent and be baptized, everyone, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. How's that done? By the laying on of hands of the faithful men in the church. And then you, without turning your back, will go from there on until you walk right into the full stature of the perfect man. Now, finally, how will I identify with God? I identify with God by obeying his commandments, being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and receiving the Holy Ghost, and starting with the Scripture. Thus saith the Lord, never vary from it. You know, many people still hold to themselves that they could switch a little bit here and there. You can't do it.
No.
You have got to be so dedicated that if there is nothing to this message, then there is nothing to nothing. Forget the whole thing. Let God sell his apple someplace else, if there is a God. Now, I use very rotten language for a pulpit, but I get my point across. As far as I am concerned, you've got to make your stand with this message. If this isn't it, then you are lost. Everybody's lost. Forget it. Now, that's what happened in the days of Jesus. The original fathers of the church, when confronted as though there could be a failure, and Jesus said, will you also go? And they said, who are we going to go to?
That's right.
You got the only thing worth looking at. You alone have the words of eternal life. So there's no place to go. And if you're gone, we're gone with you. Forget. There's where you start and identify yourself with this end time worship of God whereby you'll not be deceived. You identify with this word 100%. Thus saith the Lord. Man comes along and says, well, this looks good, that looks good. Got a sweet little letter from a boy in prison. And he'd been talking to another fellow outside about the Lord and the Brother Branham and all. And this kid wrote back a very fine letter. But you see, he couldn't bring his own thoughts into subjection. The boy in prison could, but the fellow outside couldn't. The boy in prison was free, but the man outside wasn't free.
Amen.
A lot of people outside the wall, they think they're free. A lot of people outside the church, they think they're free. They're not. You've got to be walled up to this word. God's got to put heads around it. Then you're free. You've got to be born slaves to God, then you're free. God's free men are slaves to God. Not slaves to the devil, and slaves to Peter, dog, or something else. But this poor kid couldn't understand it. He just, so I wrote back and told him how to answer him the best that he'd be able to for the time being. And then as he went along, he'd answer him even far better. But he, this one boy, just couldn't bring his mind to the fact that this prophet had thus said the Lord. So people look for what they think is a mistake. It won't work. Now, we identify in order to move into the full stature of the manifested sons of Almighty God, and which is beginning now because this is that dispensation, which will increase from now to the resurrection, and in the resurrection, and through the millennium, to the white throne judgment, and then right back to New Jerusalem when the final manifestation of those sons is there before the entire universe, which all is in due progress. Now, no way to do it than by the word revealed to us. And the worker of the work, which work revealed to us, there is a true and living God. In other words, those mighty manifestations that came our way took us right back to the reality that the true God is doing.
Right.
Now, what about it? There's where the prophet came in to reveal him by the revealed word.
Amen.
No other way. Now, with that in mind, brother, sister, here's where we stand. Showing you conclusively by Scripture, God has to identify himself as a true God in the midst of what we know can be taken as an object of worship, because we have the ability to see phenomena and things around us. We are not so ridiculously ignorant that we don't understand that there is a creator.
Amen.
There is no two ways about it, but there has to be a God. There has to be something. Only the most woefully self-deluded are those who would say there's no God. And there are many of those, but that's true. They're self-deluded. They haven't got a leg to stand on, they know. Once you get back to the original first cause, then what's the first cause? The first cause. Where's your creator? They say, where did God come from? Who cares? The mind boggles down. But there aren't too many of those, let's face it. Even in Russia, communist country, it is out of atheism, has never gone over very strong. Never has, never will. Man is prone to worship because he was made to worship. God made him. Let him be perverted. He still has that propensity, and nothing will shake him in the majority. Even the seed of servants will worship. Can't get away from it. Now the point is, God must come on the scene to identify himself. God identified amongst the people. Now, God made man to worship. So God must identify himself in order that man can worship. Then God must reveal his word in order that man will stay in continuity with God to keep up that worship. Now, where are we going today? We're right at the end time where the word's been absolutely perverted. Christ outside the church. We're at the end time where the mark of the beast will soon come through a religious organization, a system of worship. The showdown today is worship. Not that people are not worshiping God, but the showdown is they will not worship God according to the revelation as was vindicated when God revealed himself through the end time prophet. God says they don't do it, they'll believe a lie. So what's the, there's only one step left. There's two groups left. Those who are going to take the mark of the beast and those who will die refusing to do it. In the meantime, the bride's gone. We're right at that place right today, brother and sister. God has identified deity. As Brother Branham said, deity has identified itself. What are you going to do about it? There's no room to doubt anymore.
Amen.
Whatever you and I thought before, that was fine. We were doing our best. But now we're just perfect as come. And that in part is done away. You got no place else to look. But thank God, we don't have to look. That's a waste of time.
Amen.
What a waste of time to look for that which has been found. What a waste of time to think upon that which has already been thought out. In other words, to look for something else. You're trying to think it out. Don't bother thinking about it. Just believe it. See? God will give us grace as we move on in maturing in the Son. Because the Word of God has within it the full potential and the full power to bring about what it was sent for. And this Word was sent, brother and sister, for what? First of all, the showdown between righteousness and unrighteousness, worship and antichrist worship.
That's right,
and out of that is going to come the rapture. If we lick the first, I say if we lick the first, we've got the second need. Don't ever think of the second without that first. And what are we saying? Stay with this word, that's all. Stay with the word. As Paul said, if God needs to show you something, he'll show you. Don't you worry. You just stick with the revealed word of God. The Lord bless you. That's where we stand. And I trust that each one of us, as Paul said, having done the stand, all the stand, still stand. Our loins girded about to keep ourselves in the word of God. That's the place today. No other cover do I want. Standing on the rock of the revelation of Jesus Christ. God's identified himself among us. And if I'm worshiping that one, then I know I'm right. I know I'm accepted. The Lord bless you. Shall we rise? Then to be dismissed. Gracious Heavenly Father, it's been good for us to dwell together here at this time to speak about those things, Lord, which are in our day, which we know, O God, are pertinent, which we know are here, not coming tomorrow. They're here. We're in the showdown now. We just haven't felt the squeeze. We're in the showdown now. Lord, make your people know if they weather the first, they'll make the second. Grant it, O God, that be not one that turns from this word.
Amen.
Lord, put a guard upon every mind, especially every mind, that there be not one creed or dogma. There be not one, not one iota of anything, Lord, contrary to come in. When we think, Lord, that size of the sperm, 150,000 tip of the needle, one word could come into somebody's mind, destroy it. Bring a wrong life in and destroy that mind. Lord, don't let any womb, any mind be open to the wrong seed. Let it be absolutely shut to anything and everything but the Word of God. This is it. And there's no place else to go. To whom shall we go? This is a vindicated word of eternal life. Thank God that it is. Now our hope, Lord, is built on nothing less than the solid rock, the revelation of Christ Himself. God, we know we don't have to turn anywhere. We've already been turned. We're ready to go out. Father, bless each one, therefore, by faith, and use it. Every care and doubt is off. Father, help us to love each other and be sweet and kind. Not, Lord, to be antagonistic means anything or to be competitive. But to look on each one of us, Lord, as a brother and a sister, and we're all going on. Help us have that same spirit of love and unity that the prophet had when he was with us. May that very spirit of Christ imbue us all as we're marching up our design. And unto the King eternal and more than visible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God bless you. Let's just sing that little chorus as we go. We'll give the glory to Jesus. All right. Who's going to try this? Come on.